We all join me as we start with a prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have just to be with you, God. And as we reflect today on what that means and over these next few weeks, Lord, we pray that you'll be with us and that you will provide us with rest and with encouragement from your scripture, from your spirit, and from the words and experiences of those who've gone before us. In your name we pray. Amen. Many centuries ago, in a faraway land across the pond, there was a woman named Juliana. Juliana grew up in a time of confusion and chaos. Her country was in a 100-year war. Her church was going through a divisive split. The Black Plague had killed nearly half of her city, the city of Norwich. There were few certainties in Juliana's life, except for her faithfulness and hope for God. Juliana longed to love God with every fiber of her being, so she chose to set herself apart and to live isolated in a room in a church. She only had one window that overlooked the altar, and here she spent the entirety of her life in solitude, in contemplation, and in profound joy. When she was 30 years old, Julia asked three things of God, three things that are pretty peculiar to our church today. First, she asked to have a deeper understanding of Christ's death because she wanted to learn to love him more. Second, she asked to have a mortal illness because she wanted to suffer like Christ. She asked for both of these things conditionally, according to God's will. But the third thing she prayed for with no condition, that God would grant her repentance of her sins and the grace to love him. Juliana immediately fell ill, and it appeared she would die very soon. A priest was called to give her last rites, and there on her deathbed, Juliana had the revelation that she desired. The Lord showed Juliana a small thing, the size of a hazelnut, in the palm of her hand. She pondered what it might be, and the Lord answered her, "It is all that is made." She was amazed that this hazelnut could last, because it was so small that it might come to nothing. And as she gazed upon it, she came to understand that all of creation, even this tiny nut, held three truths. One, that God made it. Two, that God loved it. And three, that God keeps it. This is a profound revelation that I want us to think about for a few minutes. You see, Juliana had spent her life serving God. She had done more for God than most of us might hope to accomplish in a lifetime. Yet in this vision, she realized that God's presence was not something for her to attain. It was something for her to receive. We do not earn God's presence in our lives. It is a gift from God that he longs to give us. So as she held that hazelnut, her first revelation was that God made it. God's creation is vast. God made the whole universe. Stop and think about that for a minute. Psalm 8, 3 through 5. When I look at your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you've established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. God created everything that we see, touch, feel, smell, hear. Everything beautiful, everything strange. God created it out of nothing. God brought it to be. God created each one of us as we breathe and live and think and laugh and experience community with one another. Psalm 139, 14 through 16. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. And God declared that it is all good. Yet all of creation is small, tiny, in the presence of God the Creator. We are smaller than that tiny hazelnut. Juliana's second revelation was that God loves it. 1 John 4:9 through 11. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we ought to love one another. God loves everything he has made. God delights in everything in the universe, from stars to atoms, from whales to ladybugs. God loves and delights in every single human being. God desires our good. Juliana put it this way, "For we are his bliss, because he endlessly delights in us. And so with his grace, we shall delight in him." God's love is not a simple affirmation. It is a promise of transformation. In his love, God may break us down to our emptiness, our pride, our lies. But in our brokenness, God gathers us up to make us holy through a relationship with him. The love of our Creator is the love that sustains everything and will do so forever. Juliana's final revelation is that God keeps it. A couple passages from Philippians. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God cares for it. God is everything that is good, and the goodness that is in everything is God. God keeps what he has made and he loves. God holds all that is created in his hands, and he is working out his purpose. God has a hold on you, and God's hold on you is always stronger than your hold on him. Romans 8. For if God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will not he with him also give us everything else? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, not powers or height, nor depth, nor anything in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Another way of saying this is from Juliana, who wrote this imagining what God might be saying to her. I am God. See, I am in all things. I do all things. See, I never remove my hands from my works, nor never will I without end. See, I guide all things toward the end that I ordained for them before time began, with the same wisdom and love with which I made them. How should anything be amiss? God made us. God loves us. And God keeps us. And this is a gift from God that we simply have to receive. A scripture in Zephaniah really resonates with these words from Juliana. Zephaniah is a prophet, and he begins talking to the people of the restoration of Israel to God after a time of distance from God. This is what Zephaniah tells the people in 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. God delights in us. Our Creator loves us and rejoices over us. God does not want from us. He wants for us. And we recognize all that God wants for us when we spend the time to be with him. When we relinquish control, we spend less time talking and more time listening. We don't have words anymore, and in the silence, the depths of our hearts are brought up again. So often in life, we rush through pain and suffering and never have time to grieve the loss that we experience. When we are with God, we have to learn to sit with that, to grieve it so we can finally move past it. When we take time to be with God, we are transformed for the sake of God alone. We don't seek God to transform us so we can be better Christians or to serve the world better. We are transformed so that God is glorified in our faithfulness. And can I be honest with you? That is not the reality. This is the ideal. We don't live out our everyday Christian lives this way. I am always doing, but I'm not very good at being. Being with God, it's hard. It's not my daily experience to allow God to be glorified through my faith in him. I want to do for God. But when we take the time to be with God, he will delight over us as we rest and remember our identity as the beloved. Julian of Norwich found her ease not in grasping and clinging to the littleness of created reality, but in uniting herself to the abiding love and joy of the uncreated God. It was not what she could do or be, it was whom she belonged to. This is such a profound thought that she spent the next 20 years writing about what she learned from that vision that God gave her. The God of Juliana, the God of Zephaniah, and the God of each one of us here, he loves us as his precious creation. He longs for us to simply be with him. God's presence is not something that we attain, and it is not something we work for. It is something that we receive, a gift that God wants for us. God delights in us and rejoices over us. God is full of love and active and involved in every moment of our lives. May we each simply be with God this week. Amen.